Why do Christians support Israel? Say that with me. Why do Christians support Israel? Now that we have received this massive amount of global media attention, people are asking a question. We're going to answer it today because it is the mantra of the Word of God. Father, open our eyes to see the truth and the light of God's Word today. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Few Christians understand that in the future there's going to be a global day of judgment in which the nations of the world and individuals will be judged by Jesus Christ on planet Earth for how they treated the Jewish people. That's a synopsis of Matthew, the 24th chapter. This judgment will happen after the second coming. Get this in your mind. The rapture of the church happens. We're in heaven for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, there is the second coming of Jesus Christ, in which he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. Following him will be all of the heavenly host. That will be you, you, and you, and every person who has received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Also coming will be all of the angels in heaven. There are animals in heaven because we will all be mounted on white horses. Here they come once again. And in that period, Jesus Christ is going to gather the nations of the world, and he's going to ask them about how they treated the Jewish people. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't get me a drink. You knew that I was in prison and you did not come to see me. Now, why is this important to you today? Because there's going to come a day that God is going to evaluate the world based on his blessing his people or their chastisement of his people. And I assure you, the anti-Semites are going to have a day of judgment. Why is this message crucial for America and Europe? Because the demonic poison of anti-Semitism has taken root in the U.S. Congress. It's there right now. U.S. colleges and universities are running over with the poison of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitic professors berate and belittle students in class publicly who have a pro-Israel position. That's happening in the United States of America. Churches in America are teaching replacement theology, meaning that the church has replaced the Jewish people in the economy of God. That is simply a false doctrine. It is not true. It takes a little while in the scripture to prove that, but I guarantee you it is the absolute truth. So why should you care? Because the judgment of God is going to come to America if we do not eradicate the plague of anti-Semitism that's in our government. That's why. This battle in Congress between socialism and capitalism will have a winner and have a loser. The winner gains control of our government and the power to determine your future and the future of your children and the future of your grandchildren. And if you don't think that's not their objective, you are sadly mistaken. They intend to take the government over. I say to our House of Representatives, is fearful of this brazen anti-Semitic attack. I want to have a message with you to the House of Representatives. We sent you to Congress to stand up and to stiffen up your spine, rebuke these anti-Semites socially, publicly. This is the battle between nationalism and socialism. Nationalism is make America great again. Socialism is Adolf Hitler. I promise you everything that's free, and when I get in power, I'm going to take everything away from you and turn your world into a living hell. That's exactly what Hitler did. He came promising peace and prosperity. And when he got into office, the big bad wolf showed up instead of the Prince of Peace. And he systematically slaughtered 6 million Jews and 50 million people died because of him. Joseph Stalin was a socialist. He killed 30 million of Russians trying to prove his form of socialism would produce paradise on earth. We now have young people getting on the microphones on television saying, we're going to give you free this, and we're going to give you free that, and you can have that for free if you just get me in office. Hey, that's been tried before. You run out of other people's money pretty quick. And then what are you going to do? Who is going to pay? What they intend to do is tax those of you who will work up to 70% of what you make, and you will become an economic slave of the state. That's what that is. Socialism will destroy this country. We must stop it. We have in our government right now a group of people who have mastered the art of character assassination. Character assassination in Washington, D.C. has become an art form. Unless they get caught up in the gears of that character assassination, they just are silent. Let me say this to you. To see evil and not call it evil is evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. We sent you to Washington to represent us. Speak up. We want you to stand for America. God will not hold us guiltless if we allow this godless poison of anti-Semitism to destroy America. We cannot allow these Jew haters to make anti-Semitism respectable, fashionable, or electable. Those three things we cannot do. It pains me to speak about anti-Semitism. It's the world's oldest hatred. But to keep silent now, when it is so pervasive in our country, would be negligence on my part. One of the enduring facts of history is that most anti-Semites do not think of themselves as anti-Semites. Let me just give you a quick snapshot of history. We don't hate the Jewish people, they said in the Middle Ages. It's just their religion. So the Jewish people were slaughtered by the Crusaders. There were 8 major crusades. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed because they would refuse to follow those who were flying the flag of the Roman Church, and they refused to convert to that. Therefore, they were killed in 8 major crusades. They said, we don't hate the Jews in the 19th century. It's just their race. So they were rounded up, packed in cattle cars, and shipped off to Auschwitz and other death camps. 6 million of God's chosen people were systematically destroyed. Don't you ever forget it. God never stopped loving the Jewish people. Then they said, we don't hate the Jews. This is what they're saying now. We don't hate the Jews, but it's their nation state. That means Israel. Listen to me. Anti-Israel is anti-Semitism. You cannot have it both ways. Anti-Semitism is the hardest of all hatreds to defeat because, like a virus, it mutates. It goes here, it goes there, it comes up with a different name. It proceeds here with a different method. But at the end and the bottom of the deck, there was always that seething hatred for the Jewish people. This is how the road to tragedy begins. Listen, anti-Semitism or any hate system becomes dangerous when these three things happen. Listen very closely. First, when it moves into the fringes of the political arena to a mainstream party and its leadership. That's happening right now in America. Secondly, when that political party sees anti-Semitism as popular, when the general public is not alarmed by it. Three, when those who stand up and protest are vilified and abused in the media for standing against anti-Semitism and socialism. Fact, all three of those factors exist in America right now. I never thought I would ever live to see that in my generation, but how rapidly it has happened. how forcefully it has happened. That's why we cannot be silent. For if it is not only the Jewish people who are at risk, it is America that's at risk. It's your future that's at risk. It's the future of your children and your grandchildren that are at risk. Life and love and the freedom that we enjoy will be gone forever. We must stand up and stop this nonsense. So what are the Bible reasons for Christians supporting Israel? We stand with Israel because Israel is not a political issue, it's a Bible issue. Don't you ever forget that. Israel is the only nation on earth created by a sovereign act of God. The borders of Israel are recorded in Scripture. Did you know that? And that little piece of real estate they have at the end of the Mediterranean is a fraction of what God intends for them to have. And when the King of Glory comes back, they're going to get every blessed square inch of it. No other nation has its boundaries in the Bible. Secondly, why do Christians support Israel? Because God Almighty entered an eternal blood covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants that the land of Israel would be theirs forever. It begins in Genesis 17, but in some fashion or some way, that covenant is mentioned 22 times in Scripture. Forever. Say that with me. Forever. Therefore, it is not Russia's option. It is not England's option. It is not the United Nations option. It is not the Palestinian option. That land belongs to the Jewish people today, tomorrow, and forever.
Psalm 122:6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you."
As Christians, we owe a debt of gratitude to the Jewish people for their contributions that gave birth to our faith. Israel is the apple of God's eye, and His blessings come to those who love her. When you bless the Jewish people, you open the door of supernatural blessings in your own life.
This month, for your donation of any amount, we will send you this two-sided Jerusalem Hagee Ministries keychain as a reminder of your support for the nation of Israel. For your gift of $200 or more, you will also receive this beautiful shofar made in Israel, crafted from a ram's horn. This ancient musical instrument is used on sacred Jewish religious occasions.
Never in her history has the nation of Israel and the Jewish people needed our support more than they do today.
Bless the nation of Israel. Call the number on your screen or visit jhm.org/chosen.
Why do Christians support Israel? Because God caused the Jewish people the apple of His eye. Deuteronomy 32:10 says that word for word. The apple of the eye means the pupil of the eye. When you mistreat the Jewish people, you are literally sticking your finger in the eye of God. You will experience God's wrath, God's judgment. If you don't think you won't get God's attention by punching the middle of the eye, just turn to the person next to you and try that. I assure you, you will get slapped into the middle of next week, as my loving mother would often tell me. I am Solomon was a Jewish banker. George Washington was putting together an army of farmers who were going to fight the greatest army in the world, that was the British Army. And believe me, at that point in time, they were the best army and navy on the planet. George Washington and his army got wiped out the first two battles. They literally ran. People were talking about firing George Washington and hiring someone else to lead the American military. You didn't know that, did you? I am Solomon showed up with a contribution from the Jewish community in Europe and America for millions of dollars because George Washington's army didn't have guns, they didn't have ammunition, they didn't have food, they didn't have clothing. Some of them were walking in the snows with bare feet wrapped in rags. That was the sacrifice they made for you and I so that you can go vote. Back to the real point. With that money, our military forces now had something to fight with. Wealth and war go together. We, many historians will say, were successful in turning history around because of this one Jewish man's contribution to the United States of America, and 90% of us don't even know who he was. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. America has been richly blessed by the Jewish people. Why Israel? Why do Christians support Israel? Because Jerusalem is the epicenter of the Bible. Everything that's important from now on is going to happen in Israel. I know that sounds demeaning, but I assure you that's the truth. Jerusalem is the city of God. God says that. The Bible says that. The Bible says, quote, I have placed my name there. No other city in the world can say that. Jerusalem is where Abraham placed Isaac on an altar of stone to prove his love and loyalty to a God he could not see. Abraham became the father of all who believe. Abraham was taken to a place, the Bible says, where God showed him a special mountain. It was the forerunner of God the Father taking his son to a special place in Jerusalem, the place called Calvary, where he suffered and bled and died for your redemption and your redemption and your redemption and my redemption. Hallelujah for the cross. Jerusalem was captured by King David from the Jebusites to become the eternal capital of Israel 3,000 years ago. King David commands, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall prosper that love you. Jerusalem was where Isaiah and Jeremiah penned the principles of righteousness that became the moral foundations for Western civilization. The reason America is rotting at the core is because we've gotten away from our Bible foundations. We've gotten away from the family under which God has organized this nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but we've kicked him out of our schools. We've put the Ten Commandments out. We've taken the Bible out, mentioned the name of God, and if you're not cursing, you will be reprimanded by someone telling you about the separation of church and state. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This nation must have a righteous revolution to take us back. When Jesus returns, Jerusalem is going to be the eternal capital of the golden age. That's the 1,000 years of perfect peace, where the lion shall lay down with the lamb, when men will beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more. Jerusalem is the shoreline of eternity. Why do Christians stand with Israel? Because God blesses the Gentiles who bless the Jewish people. The blessing of divine healing came to the centurion, the Roman centurion, in Luke 7, 1 through 5. Why? The centurion obviously was a Gentile. He built a synagogue for the Jewish people. He had a servant who was dying that he dearly loved. He wanted this healing rabbi coming down the road to pray for this sick servant. But he knew Jesus was an observant Jew and could not come into his house, because his house as a non-observant person was unclean. So the centurion sent the Jewish elders out to intercept Jesus. And this is the argument they gave, the logic they gave. You should pray for this man's sick servant because he has built us a synagogue. Point. A Gentile has done something to bless us, and therefore you should break the law of Moses. Go into that house. Pray the prayer. Let that man have a miracle because he's done something to bless us. Message: when Gentiles start doing practical things to bless the Jewish people, God goes way out of his way to answer your prayer and to bring special blessings to you. Can I hear an amen to that? Why do Christians support Israel? Because the Christians owe a debt of gratitude to the Jewish people. Don't turn the television off, listen. Romans 15, 27, Paul commands all Christians saying, quote, "For if the Gentiles," that would be us, "have benefited from the Jewish spiritual things, it is their duty," the Gentiles' duty, "to minister to the Jewish people in material things." That's in your Bible. It's been there since you bought it. What are the spiritual things the Jewish people have given to us? Every word in the Bible was written by Jewish hands. Every word. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all Jewish. All prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Hezekiah, Zechariah, not a Baptist in the bunch, all Jewish. The first family of Christianity, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. The 12 disciples, the Apostle Paul. Just take Jesus out of the equation and we wouldn't be here. Jesus said in John 4, 22, salvation is of the Jews. Say that with me. Salvation is of the Jews. If you take Jesus out of the equation, there is no salvation for us. Take away the Jewish contribution and there would be no Christianity. That's why I say Judaism does not need Christianity to explain its existence. Christianity cannot explain its existence without Judaism because of Jesus. Why do Christians support Israel? Because all true believers are commanded to stand up and speak up for Zion's sake. Isaiah 62:1 says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace." It means to speak out in defense of Israel and the Jewish people when you hear people attacking. Don't walk away from them. Engage them. "I will not keep silent and I will not hold my peace." That means to crush anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is sin, and as sin, according to the book of Matthew, it will damn your soul. Anti-Semitism is the cancer of the soul. You either get the cancer or the cancer gets you. Anti-Semitism is not a Jewish problem. It's everyone's problem. God is watching and he's recording our response to this evil that's now being released in our Congress and in our churches and in our colleges and universities. We are responsible for allowing it to be there, and we're responsible for not fighting it until it leaves there. We can use our freedom to defend our freedom, or we're going to lose our freedom. Socialism can drive out democracy if we do not stand up for what we believe. These anti-Semitic socialists can be voted out of office, and yet 80% of Christianity does not vote on voting day. Freedom is not guaranteed to every generation. Every generation must fight for it to have it. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer for a word: victory. Douglas MacArthur said it well. There is no substitute for victory. Victory over the enemies of freedom. Victory over the anti-Semites that are now in the U.S. Congress. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of the slander by the fake media. Victory no matter how long or how hard the struggle may be. For without victory, there is no survival for America. There is no survival for the church. There is no survival for your children's future. Don't be offended by the word victory. You should want it at all cost. God is watching. Let us stand up. Let us speak up. And let us never be quiet until the Lord of Israel sets the record straight, and this nation under God, with repentance and righteousness, becomes the nation our founding fathers destined for us to have. Can I hear a thunderous amen in this house?
thank you for making a difference with your faithful prayers and support to this ministry.
We're also thankful for the many ways you participate in our programs that bless Israel. You are blessing the apple of God's eye.
Pastor Hagee's blessing is coming up at the end of today's program, so please stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
A lasting legacy is all about the actions you take during your life. Your actions will affect how people remember you for generations to come. As a legacy partner, your monthly gift supports humanitarian efforts in Israel, the Sanctuary of Hope, and our global broadcast outreach. The Bible states that when you bless Israel, God blesses you. God can use us in amazing ways to enrich the lives of God's chosen people. Partner with us today. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner. See the Bible come to life by standing in the very places where the stories of the Holy Scriptures unfolded. Join Pastors John and Matt Hagee on this extraordinary tour of the Holy Land. Visit historical sites such as the Mount of Beatitude, where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Float upon the waters of the Dead Sea and pray at the Western Wall. Renew your faith in the Holy Land. For more information, go to jhm.org or call the number on the screen.
You've been watching Hagee Ministries. And now, your blessing with Pastor John Hagee.
And now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, giving you His peace. May you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May we, as the righteous of the nation, raise our voices, lift the torch of truth high, and stand boldly for the Word of God, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that it teaches. Let there be no compromise with evil in any of its forms. Let us declare with authority and power that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. May this nation be led by the truth of God and recapture what the founding fathers intended from God for us, and may our children and our children's children enjoy that freedom.